Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
And welcome to episode 370 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
Is your house clean right now?
I mean, it'll do.
Is it ever?
Okay.
That is what we're talking about today, friends. We are talking about cleaning, which also leads to things like, I don't know, organizing, tidying. We kept track for a whole week earlier this month of what we did in our homes in the realm of housework and really home management, running a home. So if this sounds familiar to you, everyone, we have a popular series here on the Mom Hour called A Week of Real Life Dinners, where we write down exactly what we serve and what our family eats for a week, not what's on the meal plan or what we hoped to do, but what actually happens. And it's really popular. We've had a lot of fun with that over the years. Megan, I have always wanted to do a week of real life something else. And I have a few different ideas. And we wanted to try something else with this same kind of construct.
Yeah. And a note about that. When we chose housework, part of my brain was like, oh, that's so great. Because everyone wants a glimpse into someone else's house and what actually keeping up that house looks like for them. Yeah. And then the other part of me felt like, oh, there's just not going to be that much to say because I don't really spend that much time. This was what I thought was true. Like, right. I don't really spend that much time cleaning in a typical week. And it's just going to look like a lot of like tidying the same thing over and over. You know what I mean? Like doing the dishes, but like there won't be much else to say. And I was really worried about making sure it was in what I thought of as a normal week, which as we know, there's really no such thing, especially going into the summer. But I was like, oh, but if it's not like a normal week where I'm home every day, I just won't have anything to say. And I was blown away by the end of the first day, how much housework I do without even really knowing I'm doing it.
Yes.
And I think I probably missed stuff. I know there's stuff I did not make it onto this list.
Well, right. We kind of stopped writing down like if we did dishes again or moved another load of laundry from the washer to the dryer. I had maybe a slightly different preconception going in. I think I was a little... I have like a little bit of intimidation or inferiority complex when it comes to the schedule on which I do certain cleaning jobs. I'm always like, I feel like every other mom has like, oh, I change all the sheets on Saturdays and I mop every other Thursday. Well, it seems like they do. Okay. Well, it seems like they do. So I had some hangups about, we'll get into this because we're going to spend 2 whole episodes talking about housework, everyone, spoiler alert. But I definitely have some hangups about deep cleaning and real, like what I think of as like capital H housework or capital C cleaning. I don't think I'm very good at it. I don't think I'm very consistent at it. And so that was my hangup. I'm like, oh, I feel like I don't scrub toilets or I don't like dust. Not that I never do, but I don't on a very regular schedule, and we'll get into that. But to your point, within 4 hours of the first day of keeping track, my first thought was, oh, this isn't just about cleaning. There's so much more to running a home than is about just sweeping, dusting, mopping, and, you know, toilets and tubs and sheets.
Well,
like, there's just a lot
and
more.
Even if you never get around to, and there have been like entire months that have gone by where I don't do any heavy cleaning, no deep cleaning at all. I'm still plenty busy just keeping up with like ever, just keeping it up, like just keeping it from falling down on my head. So yeah, lots to unpack here, right?
Lots to unpack. So much so that we decided to break this into 2 episodes. So here's the plan. In today's episode, we are going to go through the week. This was the week of, we started on a Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day, which I believe was May 31st, and then took us through the following Monday, which was like June 7th-ish. So we're going to go Tuesday through the following Monday, 7 days. We're going to talk through the tasks that kept us busy in our own homes, both of us, that week. And today we're going to keep it relatively about the tasks themselves. I'm sure there will be a few rabbit holes and things that we comment on. But you pointed out, Megan, a couple of days in, you're like, I think this is 2 episodes. There's too many bigger topics here to cover in one.
Yeah. And like when I was writing down the things I was doing, or even as I was doing them and thinking, man, I never really thought about this before. Why is it me that always does this? Or what expectation do I have around that? Or how did this look different when I was in a partnered home as opposed to now? Or like when I found myself doing my boyfriend's dishes and was like, huh, I'm taking care of someone else's house now that I don't even live in. So it's like, there's just a lot, like housework and house cleaning, and there's just so much. And in a mom's life, even though I don't think that's our job as moms is to keep a clean house, it's still the space from which we have a family life, right? Yeah. So it's just there. Our kids are making messes and we're dealing with them.
Yeah, definitely.
Lots to say. Yeah.
Lots to say. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break and jump in on Tuesday, May 31st with a week of real life housework when we come back.
So Sarah, in the summer, I like to shake up my daily routines, or let's be honest, sometimes I let them go altogether. But AG1 powder from our sponsor, Athletic Greens, is one simple self-care routine that's going to stay a solid part of my day every day. AG1 is so easy. With just one scoop, I'm getting 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. And I don't have to worry about taking a bunch of different vitamins and supplements.
Yeah, Megan, you know, I'm a huge AG1 fan myself. I feel like in the summer, my nutrition can be kind of all over the place. So it's nice to know I'm starting every day with this little action that makes a big impact. The ingredients in AG1 support my gut health, nervous system, and immune system, and it even supports better sleep quality and recovery, plus mental clarity and alertness.
We know it's challenging to make daily nutrition a priority when you're a busy mom, but AG1 is going to make it easier by giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/momhour. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/momhour to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We are introducing a new sponsor today, Stir. So, Sarah, you know that dating apps were a big part of my return to the world of romance after my divorce. I met a lot of interesting people and even made some great friendships out of the deal, but it was definitely a challenge on those apps to try to find like-minded people who really understood what my life as a single parent was like. And sometimes I wasn't sure if I should disclose how many kids I have or how old they were, or even when I should let potential dates know that I'm a mom. And that's super awkward because being a mom is a huge part of my life and identity. Stir is here to take that awkwardness and guessing out of the process of dating because it's an app made just for single parents.
Yeah, Megan, I can only imagine how hard it would be to do that dance. And also what a bummer it would be if you spent time talking to someone only to find out like they hate kids or expect you to be able to jet off to Europe on a moment's notice or something.
Yeah, that was definitely not in the cards for me. And what I love about Stir is that since it was designed specifically for parents, you're just on a more level playing field from the first connection.
Stir was created by The Match Group, so they really know their stuff in the online dating space. It's a welcoming space where single parents can be themselves and meet like-minded people who have similar priorities and lifestyles. It's free to join and connect with others, and they even offer a unique feature, Stir Time, that helps you coordinate your busy schedules up front and streamline scheduling a date.
I could have really used that solution when I was doing online dating. I'm so glad our single listeners can make this whole process a little easier on themselves with Stir. Download the app for free and give it a shot. You have nothing to lose. Okay, so Sarah, one thing I think is interesting about Tuesday, the Tuesday that we kicked this off, day one, is that we were both traveling on Monday. And I know that that does definitely change things. First of all, for me, I like to do a lot of cleaning before I leave. I like to come home to a house that's been sort of staged for me to come home to. But sometimes that means I do weird things that I wouldn't otherwise do on a Sunday or a Monday. Like, things that are sort of random, and there's a method to that madness. And I think we'll get into more of that in the second episode, just like how we think through cleaning and all that anticipation mm-hmm. we're always doing. But I will just say that this Tuesday was a little weird in that the first thing I did was unpack. So for me, that's usually a multi-step process. It usually takes about 3 days. That means like I've got, you know, my stuff that I bring in and put right in the washing machine. I've got stuff that I make sure I take upstairs and at least put like on the dresser or next to the dresser or closet right away so it doesn't get lost or like wrapped up in all the rest of the stuff. Usually I'm done with that within like 3 days. It's pretty methodical, but sometimes it takes longer because I just get busy or forget about it. I switched laundry that day. I actually came home to wet laundry that I had to rewash. Again, I did that on purpose because I knew that I was going to be gone for 3 days. And I knew that I wanted this particular laundry to get washed twice because there was some cat pee in there.
Oh, okay.
And so I washed it and let it sit wet while I was gone, knowing that when I got home that night, I was going to put bleach in it and rewash it. Now, the level of thought there compared to how long it took my brain to make that decision. So it's like one of those things where you get home, I'm like, oh, right, I left this laundry for myself. Now it's when I'm going to bleach it. And like, there's this whole process, but that happened in my brain in a millisecond. Like, oh, pee laundry. Don't want to get it. I don't want it to go get dry and then get home and realize it wasn't quite clean enough, but yeah. I don't want to waste the time waiting to get back to run it twice. So I'm going to run it on my way out the door and then run it when I get back. I mean, I just feel like that's like a classic mom way of using our brain. It's like anticipating the future, knowing what might happen if we do it one way, quickly making a game time decision to do it a different way, and then immediately remembering when we're reminded by opening the washing machine and seeing the wet laundry. So anyway, there was some method to that madness. Tidy the living room and folded laundry while voxing with you a lot. And I don't know if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know, Voxer is like this voicemail program that we use. And I just realized that if I'm voxing, I can go on autopilot while doing housework and almost don't even know I did the housework. And then I look around and like a whole room is clean. So I had a real laundry issue that I have a picture of. I know we both did. Like my couch was just covered with laundry for quite some time. And I've been having a hard time keeping up with it. But that was something I did. And then had to water my plants, had to take stock of the fridge. Now I don't really count grocery shopping as housework, but there is a certain amount of fridge maintenance that has to happen that I do count, because you have to get rid of last week's leftovers. You have to make sure there's room in the fridge. You have to make sure there's no, like, I'm not going to put fresh new groceries on top of yucky spills from last week. So there's always that little bit of like a switchover, and I tend to do one big shopping trip a week. So the fridge has to be ready. So the taking stock and the tidying and the throwing old stuff out and making sure nothing was past its expiration dates and all that, I'm going to count that as housework. So that was Tuesday.
Yeah. And I mean, this is exactly where we started to be like, oh, well, does this count? Is this cleaning? And it's like, it's all so interrelated when you talk about grocery shopping. Like, yeah, taking old moldy cream cheese out of the fridge, and then I rinse those containers and put them in the recycling and then take the recycling out. Well, now that sounds a lot like housework.
Right. That's, you know, housework. What I mean? So, right.
So
it's the stuff you have to do to be prepared to bring groceries home.
Right.
And it has to happen. Yeah. Or you could just cram a bunch of groceries on top of old groceries, and then you end up with rotten groceries.
To the best of us.
It has.
Okay, so Tuesday, May 31st was also, as you said, a re-entry day for me from travel. The difference is some of my family had been home. The house hadn't been empty, which is a little different than coming home, like if everyone's been traveling. It also, I made a note of this because I knew I'd forget. Our website crashed, I think the night before. And Tuesday, if you are a fan of this show, you know it's podcast day. So we had a broken website, a podcast episode that couldn't go out because the website was broken. And then my middle child was competing at the county math Super Bowl. And that's only relevant because it was, otherwise it would have been a normal school day, but yet I had to like be out. It was a weird day. So it was a day where there was not as much getting stuff done as I would have liked. And I had professional cleaners that day. So this is a little weird twist in a week of real life housework is I had for the first time, I think it had been a little over 2 months. I'm not super regular with professional cleaning services right now. I have been in the past. The most often I've ever had them is monthly. I've never had them more often than that. But right now it's more like probably every other month, which, as we'll get into, is weird when it comes to some of those tasks that like really should be done every other week or once a month at least. And then I'm like, oh, but the cleaners will be here soon-ish. Right. In addition, because this was the last week of school and a super busy week, I didn't have time to like pre-tidy for the cleaners, as I think almost every mom out there probably likes to do. If you have professional cleaners ever come to your house, you know you like to like some tidy some piles and things so that they can really do what they do best and get to the professional level cleaning. But I didn't have time. I was coming home from a trip. It was the last week of school. There were stacks of things everywhere. So I made kind of a game time decision to only have them do kitchen, bathrooms, which would include like tubs, showers, toilets, and floors. We have hardwood floors in the main traffic areas. So I kind of just decided this is not going to be a thorough house clean. But if those things are done, I'm pretty good at filling in the gaps. So then I didn't tidy surfaces that they would have dusted, for example. I didn't worry about piles. And maybe I don't need to worry about piles when the cleaners come as much as I do. But
Well, and I think it kind of depends on the cleaners too. I mean, I've had cleaners who are very particular about not wanting to ever touch any of your stuff and will do weird things with it if you don't move it. And then I've had cleaners that just kind of work around it.
Yeah. So, and I think ours would be fine. I think it's more for me. I feel so much pressure if I'm going to spend that money to get like the best possible cleaning out of it, which only makes sense if I'm not driving myself crazy pre-cleaning for the cleaners, right? Then it's like then I'm working at cross purposes with what the real purpose is. Okay. So there were professional cleaners who came in, which is why the rest of this week, you're not going to hear me talk a lot about like getting under the range and like wiping down the stove. Like I basically entered this week with some of those grimier surfaces professionally cleaned, which was amazing.
Oh, you're not going to hear me talk about that at all either. And I did not have it professionally cleaned.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better.
But I think it's like, that's one of those things though, just to quickly interrupt you, that I bet you I probably did twice or three times. I don't do that every day, but I probably hit it twice, like just really quick, like a quick wipe down and then forgot about it. Like I wasn't, it's so automatic when you see something gross that you just kind of wipe it or deal with it. And then you forget that it ever happened and then it gets gross again. And then you clean it and forget that it ever happened and so on.
So I think I have a theory that you are better at doing a very cursory wipe down of certain gross surfaces. And there are many that I wipe down constantly, but there are others that I will avoid because I think I'm just going to wait till I can do this like really thoroughly. And there's like it's not productive. Your way's better. Trust me. also on this Tuesday, I did do several loads of laundry. I also have a photo of that because I was coming home and I'd been gone for 5 days. I watered some plants and like you, I took stock of the fridge situation. So that was Tuesday, the 31st. We should move on to Wednesday.
I'm already tired. All right. Moving on to Wednesday. So this was like a quick cleanup day of all three bathrooms, including the boys, which is usually gross. So we've got three bathrooms in the house. One is basically just like the boys' bathroom. I rarely go in there, but it is right off of the kitchen. It's one of those weird, like mid-century kitchen bathroom things, which I don't love. It's the least nice. And so it became the boys. Then there's like a powder room in the upstairs between Clara's and my bedroom. That's just for the two of us. And then there's sort of like a shared guest bathroom that's a full bath. And that's the one where Sarah or Clara and I shower. The boys would maybe go in it. Like they're allowed to use it if they're walking down the hall. I'm not like, no, but mostly they don't. Right. They mostly use the other one. So cleaning those three bathrooms, the experience couldn't be more different. Like there's Clara's and my little powder room, which is where we have our makeup and our hair care stuff. And it's kind of messy. Like there's always stuff out, but it's never dirty. Nasty. Yeah. It just takes like a quick, I do a lot of those quickly spray everything, wipe it down with toilet paper, flush the toilet paper. Probably once a week, I give the toilet bowl like a little quick scrub. And then I probably mop the floor up there or have Clara do it like every couple of weeks, only when it needs it. And it just doesn't take much. I don't think about it. Then there's the main bathroom on the main floor where Clara and I shower. And that one requires a little bit more because there's showering happening. But I use one of those sprays that you spray in the shower after you're done showering. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to kind of keep soap scum and stuff. And I don't really scrub bathtubs very often. I just kind of don't. So that doesn't take tons. Then I go into the boys' room and it's like I was just slapped in the face with gross. And I'm not deep cleaning their bathroom. But there does become a point where it's like I just can't take the risk that someone not in our family might walk in and see it.
Yeah.
So I'll at the very least like wipe around the base of the toilet and around the rim of the toilet and hit the toilet with the scrub. And again, I'm not in there like breaking my back. I'm not scrubbing on my hands and knees, but it takes time.
Yeah.
Again, Wednesday, usually I would do my grocery shopping on Wednesday or Monday, but I did it on Wednesday that week. So I kind of just picked up where I left off the night before. I swapped out a tablecloth on our dining room table. I do that about once a week, sometimes more if we're just eating all together lots, maybe twice a week. It is actually one of my favorite homemaking rituals. I really love tablecloths and I love
about you, but you haven't talked about it on the show in a while.
No, it's been a while, but it's something that's never gone away from me. I always would buy those vinyl ones and I feel like I used to be able to get really cute vinyl tablecloths at Target. And now, of course, I don't have Target anymore. And at Meijer, you can sometimes find cute ones. I don't need the vinyl ones anymore. Like we're not, the kids aren't that messy anymore. So it's really more of like, I put a cloth one down once a week or once every couple of days, I shake it outside, just go out the back door and shake crumbs off. And then about once a week, I swap it out with a new one. And I feel like it's like, it matches my mood. Mm-hmm. And if you ever see pictures that I put on Instagram or videos, like very often I'm sitting at that dining room table with one of my tablecloths and I probably chose it because I was in that mood. They're typically floral, but not all. I put away a basket of clothes that were in my bedroom. That has been a constant struggle for me to keep up on the clothes putting away lately. Continue to unpack. I did the dishes and put food away after dinner. Oh, I kind of had forgotten about this, but this is usually a shared job with Clara and Owen. But Eric stopped by for dinner and the kids were just unloading so many words that day. Like they just were talking a lot. We had all been apart from each other over the weekend. And so they had a lot to tell me and I started to feel like it was like drinking from a fire hose. So I just thought I'm going to go escape to the kitchen to clean up and let Eric be the one to drink from the fire hose for a little while. And I also just didn't want to deal with like hearing them bicker about who was going to load and who was going to unload. And I just didn't want to deal with that. So it reminded me when they were little kids and honestly cleaning the kitchen was like my happy place because I had an excuse to hide in the kitchen without anyone in there. Took all the recycling out of the garage and put it in the bin. So I have, you know, my garage is right off the back door and I have a bad habit of just tossing things out the door. And like, I have a little container to grab recycling, but it's not big enough. Mm-hmm. And so it was overflowing and I had to take it all out and break down some boxes and things like that. That took a while. And then CCLR, complete cat litter reset. So that's also typically a Clara job, but I decided to take mercy on her, take pity on her and do it. And it just means the cat litter is completely thrown away. The container is wiped or hosed out and there is fresh new litter. And that's maybe once every couple weeks.
Okay.
Usually we just scoop and refill.
Right.
How about you? Yeah.
Okay. So Wednesday, I made a note that everyone was in school this day. It was a good, long, normal work day at home, which means, of course, I was working. But the way I do housework while working from home is I sit at my computer and work until my body needs a sitting break. And then I stand up and I do housework.
How do you know that your body, I'm just really curious, but how do you know? Like, what does your body tell you?
Oh, interesting. I think I feel uncomfortable in a seated position or, and or my eyes or brain or neck, that kind of like computer focus, not so much like my larger gross motor back and legs, but more just like
you're not starting to just fall apart.
No. Yeah. And like, I don't have like severe pain or anything like that. Like my limbs are not asleep. It's more of like, I need to not be, and it might look like a brain break. It might look like a brain or a body break, but basically then I do housework, which is so funny. I do work and then I stand up and I move my body, but I'm taking care of tasks. It works really well for me. And for this reason, I will often leave breakfast dishes in the sink for several hours if it's just me here at home, because I know I'm going to get to them when my energy and my brain body, like there will be a time that lines up that it makes sense to do that. So I'm not very specific about like, I must clean the kitchen before sitting down to work. I'm actually kind of the opposite. So I made a note that the aftermath of having had the cleaners there the day before was that funny things get kind of like unearthed when you have somebody, you know, dragging a broom under your couch or vacuuming. And so they're like these random objects that need to be thrown away or find a home. I found half an Easter egg, you know, lots of like single socks that get unearthed when someone else has been in helping clean your home. So that was kind of funny. I did a lot of more fridge tidying because I went to the grocery store that day as well. And we got our farm box. So there was more of that kind of fridge organization. Brian made dinner and Violet made brownies because it was Reed's birthday that day. So there were so many dishes in the evening and I am the main dish doer. Like I just haven't delegated that to the kids yet. And Brian is the main cook at least in the evening. So I have a love hate with dishes. I really don't mind standing at the kitchen sink doing dishes. I really don't. There's something meditative about it for me. I look out, there's a window in front of my kitchen sink. However, I can reach a point where I'm like, oh my gosh, there are so many, especially when
they still keep coming.
And my dishwasher, actually, I have had so many dishwashers that function at about 70%. Like they're just good, but not great. And so what really, you know, gets in my gras or whatever, is when I'm doing a bunch of hand washing, pots, pans, cookie sheets, things that don't go in the dishwasher. But then I also open up a clean dishwasher and I have to rewash like a third of those because they didn't get cleaned. That bugs me. So anyway, did a lot of dishes that night. This was the last week of school. So I was starting to see a lot of like end of school paper piles. I started to tidy the dining room table, which is kind of like our dining room is in a pass-through room and we don't sit at the formal dining room table very often. So it becomes like a giant surface where things can gather, which can be useful, but also get overwhelming. The kids each have a little basket in the dining room where I can put their stuff to take back to their room. So I did a little bit of that kind of tidying. And then I kept going with laundry. So I did a lot that day. I did linens and rags that day because the cleaners had been there. And so I cleaned a lot of cleaning rags. I did Reed's laundry. Again, those random socks that I pick up constantly find their way into the laundry. The way the kids' laundry works is they bring their basket out when they're ready for me to do it. And I give them approximately a 24-hour turnaround. Like they can't bring it back and bring it out and say, like, I need these cleaned now. But within about 24 hours, I do their laundry and I fold it, but then they put it away. That's how we do it right now.
You know, we can dive into this more in a future episode, but like laundry is the one thing that for me has changed so many times as a mom that I feel like I have only ever been on top of it for like a brief shining moment. And that was when my kids were like stair steps. The hand-me-downs made sense. I knew exactly who wore what, like it just all made so much sense. And I was in complete control of it. Now it is not like that anymore. And I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And my kids are like mad at me because I don't know whose pants. I'm like, they all look, you guys all wear identical pants. Only you know whose pants are whose. And they're all sort of similar sized. It's just a mess right now.
Yeah.
And I've lost control because now they also want to be in charge of their own laundry. So
yeah, I get it.
Anyway.
All right.
My turn.
Thursday. Yeah.
Okay. Thursday, I swept and mopped like basically the whole first floor. I will say sweeping and mopping is something that I vastly underestimate how often I do because it's just like one of those things I can kind of do without thinking about it too much. I'll just be talking to one of the kids or voxing with you or something. And I pick up a broom and next thing I know, everything's been swept and then I mop it. And when Moxie was still alive, and if you don't, I think I've mentioned it on the show. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, you might not know, but we did have to have her put down a few weeks ago. And I was in the habit of mopping a lot up after her. So I just kind of kept that going. But now instead of just mopping up pee piles, I'm mopping up, you know, everything.
Right.
I'm also dealing with finding like remnants of her presence in the house constantly. Like she used to eat the end of the peanut butter jar. That was something that she did her whole life. And so we get to the end of the peanut butter jar and then we give it to her and she'd stick her nose in it. It was really cute. And then she'd chew it up and then I'd throw it away a few days later. And now I'm finding those like in like chewed up peanut butter jars, half chewed bones. I'm finding all those things all over the house, which is just sad. And also now when we finish up a peanut butter jar, I kind of look around like, who's going to eat this?
Going to lick it.
Nobody's going to lick it. No one's going to lick it. So, it's kind of sad. I did another load of laundry. I pulled some weeds, which is another thing that I could often go forever, a whole summer without doing, but I happened to be out. It was a lovely day and I happened to be outside. Chicken care, you know, it's not housework, but it did occur to me that day that like, that's something I do every single day. So I did that also Tuesday and Wednesday and then forgot to write it down. And those things take time. It's like caring for the people/pets/animals under, you know, in your estate that takes time. And then mail maintenance and paying bills, which I don't really count paying bills as housework. However, if I don't keep them organized, they don't get paid and organization and maintenance of the mail coming in is definitely something that kind of falls under that housework thing. And I don't have a great system for it. My system is kind of active management. Just make sure I look at it a lot and stay on top of it. Part of that is because in the new house, I haven't quite figured out where my workstation is yet. I have a desk in my bedroom, but I don't want to spend all day in my bedroom working. And so I like to kind of be down in the main part of the house during the day. And I haven't quite figured out where to set myself up to have all my stuff where I need it. So still working on that. How about you?
Well, I made a note that this felt like it was a low housework day. I think the day prior, Wednesday, I had done a lot. This Thursday felt like a low housework day, but then I kind of got a second wind in the evening And it's just a reminder of the never endingness. We're going to talk about that next week. But like, I could say to myself, like, wow, you didn't even wipe down the kitchen counters today, Sarah. And then like, it's 7:30. We're shuttling kids, like, not to bed, but like back toward the bedroom part of the house. And there I am. I fold 2 loads of laundry. I'm like, you know, I'm still putting away the suitcase from my travels. So it's not like an 8-hour office work day. It's like a 16-hour, right, like hours that you are awake in your home. And to your point, we're almost always doing something. So right. I did get a second wind in the evening. I started that day by unloading the dishwasher and putting away the hand wash dishes from the night before. We also had, I made a note, we had a really funny conversation in Slack with our entire team about singing karaoke. And I made a note because we use either Slack voicemail or Voxer to talk as a work team. And sometimes it's a water cooler. What do you call that in a real office? So it would just made me smile that day because I did a ton of dishes. But while I did dishes, I was enjoying listening to our team chat about karaoke. So it's a fun way to combine, I guess, work and housework.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did more laundry, folded a bunch because I had done a lot the day before. Brian joined me in some folding in the evening, which is rare. Brian is very hands-on in the kitchen and is our main dinner cook, but I do all the laundry. So he helped fold some linens and that I had been avoiding because linens is like, I'll have a pile of clean sheets and pillowcases. And I don't know why. I fold laundry in our bedroom and our linen closet is 6 steps away from where I fold laundry. It's not even like down in another part of the house. It's right there. But I don't ever put things right in the linen closet. I just move them to the chair anyway. I hung up a lot of my own clothes, to your point about the hang. We've talked about this before. Like the hanging up just feels like, I don't know, an extra thing. This is how long it had been. I found our hotel room key from our trip to Dallas in April under one pile of, like, I think sweaters that I hung up. So that had been a while.
I one time found an iPad under, like an iPad that had been missing for a very, like, embarrassingly long time. I didn't realize how long it had been since I got to the bottom of that pile. Yeah.
There's just always a pile. I made a note that there was more school, like end of school stuff just everywhere. And I just had to kind of put the blinders on and know that I would get to it eventually. And then you brought up chickens and pulling weeds. And that, I think that kind of both led us to think like, well, yeah, we're maintaining this home inside and out. I harvested a bunch of plums and avocado because we have trees going crazy right now. And we won't eat them. No one will eat them. And they'll go to waste and they'll rot and become squirrel food if I don't get out there and pick them. So I harvested stone fruit. I picked up dog poop. I watered an outdoor flower pot. And that was Thursday. I think that brings us to our break. It feels like this is a lot, but we're only halfway through the week.
Yeah. And I think we even have more to talk about in the second half. So,
oh yeah.
Whew, here we go. We are welcoming back Stitch Fix as a sponsor today. Sarah, it's crazy how the weather warms up here and like overnight you realize it's time to bust out your summer wardrobe. Lucky for me, Stitch Fix takes the hassle out of shopping and actually makes it fun to try a few new pieces while also filling specific gaps in your closet.
Oh my gosh, yes to Stitch Fix. So here's how it works, friends. You create your profile and take a fun short style quiz. You can specify what you need, what you don't, and even write a note to your stylist. Then the expert stylists at Stitch Fix get to work finding clothing, shoes, and accessory pieces picked just for you. They'll send you 5 pieces to try on at home, and you keep what you love and send back the rest. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are easy and free.
Yeah, and I don't know if everyone realizes this, but with Stitch Fix, there's no subscription required. You can try it once or set up automatic deliveries if that's what's best for you, and there's no hidden fees ever. Sign up today at stitchfix.com/themomhour to get $20 off your first purchase. This is a limited time offer and you'll want to purchase your first fix within 2 days of signing up in order to get this deal. That's stitchfix.com/themomhour to get $20 off your first purchase. Sarah, during this episode, our listeners are getting a pretty good picture of what our average days look like. We're like mom/business lady/housekeepers and more. So I think it's pretty fun that our sponsor, Pear Eyewear, makes glasses that can switch things up just like we do.
I agree, Megan. I'm not someone who wants to spend a ton of money on a bunch of different glasses, so I think this is so neat. With Pear Eyewear, you order a base frame. They have a bunch of different shapes to choose from, including round and cat eye. Then you choose top frames, which magnetically snap onto the front of the glasses to create a totally unique look. They literally have hundreds of top frames to choose from. You could change your glasses like you change your clothes.
Yeah. And it's so fun when you order them because they actually use the camera on your phone or computer to show you what the glasses will look like in your face in 3D, which was just amazing. And then they also had some software where they were able to check my pupillary distance, which you need for a prescription. And that was really cool too. It was just neat to use their technology.
Yeah, that is great. Well, base frames start at just $60, including prescription lenses. So with Pair, you can get high quality eyewear at a fraction of the price. Get glasses as unique as you are. One pair, infinite style, starting at just $60. Go to paireyewear.com/themomhour for 15% off your first purchase. That's 15% off at pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com/themomhour. Okay, so we are to Friday of the week we were tracking, which was Friday, June 3rd. Reed, my sixth grader, graduated from sixth grade that day. So I was like, I don't think I worked like at all that day. It was kind of like last day of school and sixth grade graduation. I made a note that my day started by sewing a button on Brian's dress shirt at 6 a.m. Which again, not really housework, but also, I don't know, the button's got to get sewed or the shirt needs to, you know, get tossed or whatever, mended somehow. Somebody's got to do it. I did have a low moment that I feel like confessional about of in the morning being not very nice to my spouse about dishes. Okay. So I think we were both out. The way the mornings work in our house is the kids can get their own breakfast and they can get themselves ready. So we're not needing to actively be with them in the way you are when they're tiny. But we do kind of take turns of who's back in the bedroom getting ready and who's out in the kitchen kind of, I don't know, like buttering toast and that kind of thing.
Right.
This morning, because we were going to sixth grade graduation, I was actually like doing my hair and makeup, which normally I wouldn't be doing at this time of morning. If I was going to put myself together, I'd probably wait till everybody was gone. But so I was back in the bedroom a little longer and Brian was out helping with breakfast and we had a lot of dishes from the night before because we and sometimes when I say from the night before, they're not all dirty. Sometimes they're clean and stacked, but usually in the early morning, there's quite a bit that needs to be like put to right from the night before. And that's probably just because we're not a family who leaves the kitchen like perfectly spotless before we go to bed. I never have been that way. I'd rather like wake up and kind of tackle it with fresh energy. So
right.
When I'm out with the kids, serving them breakfast, talking to them, asking them about how they slept, all of that, I am constantly doing dishes. I'm either doing the breakfast dishes or I'm catching up from the night before. I'm washing the coffee pot. I'm like, I never stop. And so I did that. And then I was back in the bedroom and I was doing my hair, doing my makeup. And I was back there for like a good half hour. And I come out and Brian's just shooting the you know what with the kids. And I'm like, but also like there's also other things you could be doing while being this present parent. And it was just like that classic moment. We work really well together as job sharing and co-parent. So I feel like I can kind of safely say this on the podcast because nobody's partnership is perfect. It's just like, that is the difference between how I spend time in my kitchen and how he did that morning. I'm not even going to say how he always does because he's good at picking away at tasks as well. But I just came out and I was not very nice about it. I said something. I was like, you've been out here this whole time and then like we're still just looking at this sink full of dishes. I don't remember exactly what I said, but it wasn't very nice. Okay.
Well, I understand it. I understand.
Okay. Well, hopefully others can too. The only other thing I wrote down for this Friday, because it was a weird day, is my eighth grader was on an 11-day school trip. And so this whole week I had been actually down an entire kid. And normally I do not go into the teenage bedroom. I certainly don't clean the teenager's bedroom, but I also don't go in and do much. You know, Luke brings his own laundry out and every once in a while I'll be like, hey, bring any water cups out. We don't generally have a problem with like food going into the teenage bedroom, but I felt like because this had been such a long trip, I wanted to go in there like, I don't know, make sure like nothing was rotting. I did want to change the sheets on the bed, which I didn't end up doing till the next day, but I kind of took stock of the teen bedroom. Kind of opened up the windows, let some fresh air in, threw away obvious trash. I wanted to strike the balance of like helpful mom, picked up my room a tiny bit while I was gone, but also like, oh my gosh, mom's been going through my stuff. And so that I'm new to this. Like I'm new to like teenage parenting. And I think I struck the right balance. I think it would have been weird if I'd gone in there and like deep cleaned my eighth grader's room before returning from a school trip, but I did go in there and tidy a little bit.
And I actually did the same thing one of the days of that week. I went into Will's room. They were, I think they were all with their dad for one of the nights or something. And I remember going to his room and being like, you know what? I just think I'll be happier. First of all, there's dishes of mine that are being hoarded in this room.
And
I would really like to have all of the spoons that I purchased back in my drawer. And some of them are lost to time. Like, I'll never get those spoons back. I don't know where they are. But like, that's one thing. And else, it's a pest problem. I don't want gross food stuff. But then I also kind of looked around and was like, you know what? I think maybe I'll just do a quick sweep and pick up some laundry too. And then he'll come home to a slightly cleaner room and I'll feel better about it. And so will he. And I don't know. I don't know if he actually did feel better about it, but I did.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there you go.
You know, you talked actually just last week when we were talking about like, sometimes we think we have to be so consistent with like, I do not clean my teen's room, or I do demand that my teen cleans his room. And sometimes it's like, well, this time it made sense. It's not like he's not going to expect you to always go in and pick up his dirty laundry and wash it for him. But this time,
in fact, I think he'd prefer I didn't most of the time. But like, I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it anymore. And I didn't deep clean it. I just made it a little bit more manageable. Yeah. So,
well, the worst thing I found on this like timid entry into the teen room was a sealed Tupperware that had refried bean dip in it. It was probably a week old, but it was one of those glass lock, completely sealed. So there was no like pest, like there was no concern for the bedroom itself. It was only like when I got it out to wash it, you know, it was kind of stinky, but yeah. So, all right.
Well, this is pretty funny that I did not make an entry for Friday, because I very clearly remember saying something every day. And then the funniest thing was I actually made comments about how much housework we were doing on that Friday, but I didn't actually put my entry about what I did that Friday, which I think it might be I was working on it and I just clicked away from the window and it got lost or something. So here's what I will say. I know for a fact sometime that week, and I don't see it under my notes, that I folded, you know, hours worth of laundry and managed to send it off with the correct kids, which is something I've been trying to get done for a really long time. I think that must have happened on a Friday. And I also put down a new area rug. And I know that's not like household management or cleaning, but it had to get done. And it sat in my garage for like a week and a half or 2 weeks because I just didn't want to deal with it. But it's a thing, like, you know, cutting the plastic to get a rug out. I bought it online, rolling it out. It's huge. It's actually a little bit bigger than I expected. Getting it in the room, getting it under the sofa. That was a whole thing. And it required me to take care of all that laundry because we've now lived in this house for 4 months and I have not put the sectional back together yet. So it's like in pieces, but like pushed closely together. And so I can't move the pieces of the sofa with the laundry on it. It'll just fall through the cracks. Right. Yeah. So then I'm looking around going, okay, I need to get this under control, but it's not a one person job. It's not even really like a mom and two younger kids job. It's like, I need some man strength on that, or like some older adult strength to help me out. So I'll have to like recruit all the kids at some point to help with that. But that's all I wrote down. I actually thought that that was a pretty heavy housework day, because I remember thinking Saturday would be a really low housework day or no housework day, but I couldn't tell you exactly what I did.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Well, here we are to Saturday. I wrote down, I'm glad I did, because I would have no memory of this. We had had technical difficulties earlier in the week with recording the podcast, so we had to bump recording to early Saturday morning, which happens sometimes. And I think neither you nor I really mind recording on the weekends, but it's not our usual. It's usually pretty early my time because you're 3 hours later. And I woke up with a headache, which happens sometimes for me. So I didn't get to much housework. Normally a Saturday would be like, I'm going to really dig into some of this decluttering and like tackle some project. And I really didn't, because both we were working and I had a headache. I did pick away at the end of school year paper onslaught. So Reed and Violet had finished school officially the day before. Although I don't know if your schools have been or were like this in elementary school, but it feels like the papers start coming home about a week before the end of school, because the teachers are, you know, they're putting those portfolios together and they're helping the kids clean out their desks. And so I guess there's pros and cons to that. It felt like school papers were coming home for like a solid week, but I guess I wasn't hit with it all at once. And basically, I go through and I, you know, trash a lot of it immediately after looking at it. I make piles for each kid. I have these accordion portfolio savers that I will link to. I've mentioned them like two dozen times on the show, but I will link to them again. They're from Lakeshore Learning. I think a Tupperware bin can also work. Like, it doesn't really matter. I think the main key is paring down to just the essentials. And what's funny, Megan, is now recording this. We're recording this June 16th. So it has been two full weeks since this happened. And I feel like what I did is the first 70% of this task, you know, like the paring down, the throwing junk away, salvaging old pencils, things like that. I did all that, but then the kids' piles are still just in my office 2 weeks later. Yeah. So that's kind of funny. I did end up changing out all the bedding on my oldest's bed in preparation for return from the school trip, and did unfolded his laundry as well. So I was like kind of pre-nesting to get my kid back from a trip. And that bedding, I did like the mattress cover, the dust ruffle, like full, like really did a, what did you call it with the cat litter? Like the complete reset rather than just
complete
like.
Complete cat litter reset, yeah, CCLR. So
complete teen bedding reset as opposed to like, oh, strip your sheets. Let's run them through the wash real quick. But this was like, you know, I did it up nice. I think we might have vacuumed in that room too. I think Brian actually hauled the vacuum in and did that. And then I also harvested more plums and avocados and took a full bag of those down the street to a neighbor.
Definitely falls under housework.
Sure.
Because you can't let those go to waste. No. You cannot. Well, my Saturday, which I had thought would be a no housework at all day, I had been planning to take it kind of easy, just turned into not being that. And that's okay. Like sometimes I like to declare sometimes that I'm not going to do things just so I can break my own rule, because then I feel like I'm way on top of it. And also I just like let the spirit move me. And that day the spirit moved me to clean. But it started with me hanging out at Eric's house early in the day, and he wasn't even there. And I decided to do his dishes, which I do very frequently. First of all, his house is always nice and neat and much cleaner than mine. And so there's something about cleaning his kitchen that is deeply satisfying, because it's like restoring it to factory reset.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's, it like just looks cleaner than my house will. My house just doesn't look as clean as his does. And so there's something very satisfying. Also, it's an act of service. It's an act of care. I like to do that for people. And I help dirty the dishes. Now, you know, I think I had dinner maybe over here on Friday. So, at his house. And so I wound up doing the dinner dishes, but then once I got started, and he and his family, everyone does their own dishes. So it's one of those, because he's just down to him and one child at home almost all the time. His other son has moved out and his daughter's only with him half the time. So it's like, usually the dishes are going to be his, or maybe once in a while hers. So the system they have worked out is everyone takes care of their own dishes. There's not like dishes left to pile in the sink, which is very different than the way I've always done things in my house. Mm-hmm. So all that is to say, I feel like I'm trying to work within his system, but I'm also trying to, you know, be part of the solution and make it really nice. And it's just an interesting dynamic, because as I'm standing there doing his dishes, I'm thinking, I could really be at my house doing something at my house that would make my house better. And I think that that's just an interesting thing when you're in a couple, but not cohabitating, but yet you're kind of messing up each other's stuff.
Yeah.
Even that can get a little tricky sometimes. And that day it was perfectly fine. But there have been times before where I will find myself tidying over at his house and thinking like, but I have a whole house I need to go take care of. And it's just one of those kind of complicated things about having a romantic life when you're an adult with kids who aren't with that person. Then I went home, and because I was on a roll, I did the dishes at my house and I gave my kitchen a really good wipe down. So this is when I would have been doing the, like under the, you know, the, what is it called? The range, the thingy. I have an electric stove.
The
The hood. You know what I mean? Like, this is embarrassing. Whatever. The things you cook on, the elements, the heating elements. I hit like cleaned under those.
We were right at the point where like we're not sure if we're gonna edit that or not, but I don't think we are. Well, just we just couldn't think of the word.
The thing that makes things hot. That was the thing I was cleaning under and then like wiping down, and the kids were outside doing yard work. And I always love that feeling of like the kids are outside working on something and I'm inside working on something. We're all, or sometimes vice versa, we're all being productive. Like there's somebody, everyone is being industrious today. And that to me is a really good feeling.
Yeah.
So when I finished that up, I peeped outside and they're still out there working. I thought, you know, now what I'm going to do is sweep the sunroom and I'm going to take the doormats outside and shake them. And ooh, it's so nice outside. So then I wander back into the garage and finished breaking down boxes and like went and got more boxes out of the shop and broke all those down and tidied up the garage, which was fine, but like not great. It really needed a little bit of help. And so that felt really good, but that's one of those things I did not plan for. And usually that kind of job I do not plan for. That's the sort of thing that just happens because I find myself with some spare time and I don't want to look at the mess anymore and I just take care of it. I'm really good at that kind of impromptu, spontaneous cleaning. I'm not as good at having a system that makes sure that it happens regularly.
Well, this is probably a surprise to you and everyone listening, but in this way, we are exactly the same. And maybe that's why I've struggled with feeling like I should be doing it differently because I am so schedule and system oriented in other areas of my life. But I'm, as you were talking, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I would be doing. Like, oh, the kids are playing a little bit longer. I'm going to tackle this. Or, oh, I feel like doing this. So I really am that way with housework for whatever reason. So.
Because it doesn't, it maybe somebody else does it differently. I think the point is no one's got a perfectly clean house all the time. Even if they have the most fail-proof system, it will fail at some point, right? Or you can't keep up with everything because like just almost nobody I know, I'm not going to say nobody because I do know people who are crazy good homemakers, house cleaners, home maintenance type people. But that's really like a big job. I think most of us just figure out what sort of works for us and do that.
Yep. Yeah. And we'll talk a lot more about like all of our feelings about all this in next week's episode. But yeah, I agree. Well, that brings us to Sunday. And I feel like we were quite productive on this Sunday. So I'll try and move quickly. I wrote down that we did an all family, all hands cleanup of the rec room. So our rec room is this bonus room I've talked about. It's got couches and a projection TV. It's also got a kids art table. It's like, it is a catch-all. It's like the equivalent of all of you who have basements, but it's not a basement. It's kind of on the way out to our garage. And it gets crazy cluttered in there because I let it, because I let the kids build forts and do their projects. And, you know, I still have relatively young kids who are like making a huge art mess and then leaving it out for days. And it's one of the joys of my life that I have this room where I can leave that because I've lived in houses where there isn't space for that. But every once in a while, we need to kind of like get it back to factory settings, as you said. So we just like hauled everybody in there and there's a lot of paper scraps because Violet does a lot of artwork and cutting. So it usually looks like handing a kid a trash bag and like just being like, okay, you pick up all the paper scraps. Like you go through and find all the dirty socks that are like under the couch cushions and you put the couch to right. And then, you know, Brian and I are in there too. Brian might bring in the shop vac. And so, yeah, so we did that, which is deeply satisfying to me. It's satisfying because it's obviously feels great to have a room get put to right, but also it's satisfying for me to be able to boss my kids around and make them do like to just be feel like we're working on something together, you know, rather than me picking up after them. So we did that. I supervised the kid weekend chores, which include pet cage cleaning. We have two rats and a guinea pig, emptying their, we call them bench baskets. Those are those little like miscellaneous baskets that I throw their stuff into that live in our dining room, and they're supposed to take those and empty them in their bedrooms and put things away once a week, putting their own laundry away. So, you know, supervising your kids doing their chores is like, it's housework adjacent, I think. So I wrote it down. I wrote down that I was getting closer on the end of school year papers and artwork. So basically I'd been picking away at end of school stuff for days, did more laundry, triaged Luke's coming home from school trip unpacking, which again, did I mention 10 days of biking and camping? So OMG, the stink. And it was wet. There was rain and snow. So that takes several days. That extended beyond the scope of this week of real life housework. But basically, it's like any other major coming home from camping. It's like you do the stinkiest, most urgent things first. You spread everything out, and then you just, for me, we just spread it out over the garage, and I'm still picking away at it. It's been 2 weeks, but like the mess kit is clean. The water thing you drink of that I always forget the name, like the hydration pack. I like to really give that a good clean because that would be so gross if water stayed in there. And so, yeah, I don't mind. It's a lot, but like I have since recording all this that week, I have washed the sleeping bag. I've washed the parka. I've taken care of it in stages, but this was the first day of triaging it. And then, yeah, that's where I'll stop for now for Sunday.
Okay.
I had another comment, but I'll save
it. You didn't run out of things that you were doing, but yeah. And well, I think it's interesting.
More laundry and more dishes, but I mean, okay. Come on. The listeners know.
I'm not even mentioning those things anymore, yeah. The laundry and the dishes. They just are happening. And actually, as we were talking about, like, I realized that when we were writing these things down, we mostly, at least for me, I was mostly writing down things I personally was doing. I wasn't really writing down like the stuff that was happening because other people in the house were taking care of it, which would be, that's like a whole different episode, yeah. Is like, how do things get done when mom's not the one physically doing it, yeah. Necessarily? And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second too, but even when it's technically someone else's job. So like the dishes, the nights that my kids are home with me is not really my job, but there's almost never a day I don't do in some way dishes. Like it just doesn't maybe look like, okay, now it's my job to clear the table after dinner and load the dishwasher and run it. Like maybe that's not my job tonight or unload, but the next morning when they're all off at school or whatever, now they're sleeping in, but I'm probably still loading a few things into the dishwasher just to kind of get it started. Or I'm unloading because I just don't want to half unload a dishwasher there. So even when it's not our job, it's still kind of our job. Right. And this was a good example of that. So that Sunday, again, I kind of had thought that maybe I wouldn't have a lot to do that day because that morning I went to a friend's birthday brunch. And then that evening was Will's graduation. And I thought, well, that's like going to be just hours of me not being home at all. Recreating and then watching this ceremony. So like, I'm not even going to have time to do any housework. And I still did. Yeah. I still did housework, all the basic stuff. But then I had to make sure that the trash and recycling went to the curb and not my job, very clearly not my job, but I care about it more than anybody else.
Sure.
So of course I'm going to make sure it happens because if it doesn't, guess who's stuck with full trash bins for the next week? Mm-hmm. That I have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. So like they don't care. Yeah. And it just, I know we're going to talk more about how our feelings around all this, but it's just like that emotional labor of being the one to care, even if you're not the one doing the thing, is a lot. And I'll leave it there for now.
Well, I even want to just add a note to that lovely comment about emotional labor and mental load. And say that Saturday, Sunday, Monday of this particular week, I had some really intense personal stuff going on. And I wrote it down because I wanted to remind myself that I was dealing with that those days. And yet you still got to do the housework. You know what I mean? Like right. you maybe do less and you maybe go a little easy on yourself and you maybe like cry over the kitchen sink while you're doing dishes. But like, it's still there. So I don't know. It was kind of profound for me to be doing that and just be like, yeah, I still folded laundry and I still like, I don't know, picked up dog poop and whatever. So yeah, it's a lot. Okay. That brings us to Monday, the last day of the 7 days we tracked. And we finished on a Monday because we started on the day after Memorial Day. I wrote down that this was kind of the first day of summer-ish. Like my oldest still went back for a couple half days later that week. It was a weird finishing up of middle school. But I had all three kids home that day. I started my day. The very first thing of housework I did that day was going outside to dig through a trash can to find a book from school of Violet's that I had thrown away in the school papers purging, and she wanted it. And it was so cute. She was like, Mommy, Mrs. Hammer said that we should be practicing multiplication and our cursive every day this summer. This is like the first day of summer. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh dear Lord, you're not going to do this. I know you're not, but I appreciate the desire because it was all fresh, right? The fresh desire to like do what she's supposed to do all summer long. And so there had been a cursive handwriting, kind of like a workbook that I had just tossed and didn't realize that was for summer work. And I had to go digging through trash. I never did find it, but she forgot
about
it.
How much of your job as a mom is taking, like finding things in the trash that you aggressively threw away because you were over momming? I mean, I don't know. You can't give it a percentage, but it's a lot, right?
It's like a whole episode. I could do a whole episode about that. that was literally at like 6:30 a.m. or something. I was out in the real trash, not just the kitchen trash, but like the big bin. That day, I also took out the compost, and that's kind of new for us, but we are doing backyard composting. So it is very stinky, but kind of satisfying because I really like that we're doing it. But it's gross. And I also washed out the compost container and I did a little extra, more like a complete reset of compost rather than the quickie version. I hand washed a lot of our reusable water bottles, like our stainless steel, like our hydro flasks and the cheaper version of those. We have a little mini fridge in the rec room. And what I really like to do is have a bunch of those already filled and in there. And it's so great because we can grab them when we're leaving. But what happens inevitably is like they start to kind of stack up in the kitchen, and I gave them all good washing. I refilled them and put them back in the fridge. I voted. That is not housework at all, but it did involve finding my ballot in a whole stack of those bills and papers that we talked about. So I came up against my own lack of paper management.
And isn't it amazing too how much of just doing a thing sometimes requires you to clean the space to find the thing that you want to do, like the necessary household management. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Let's see. I ordered more laundry pods because we were out of that. I harvested more plums. And then I had a surprise dog mess because we let the dog be out in the house when we went on an outing instead of crated. And he can kind of do either one. He didn't pee. His marking problem seems to be getting better, knock on wood. But he did jump up on the kitchen counter and eat three brownies in like four different locations in the house. First of all, our dog is not very sensitive to chocolate. I know this is like high alert for a lot of people, but my experience is some dogs are more sensitive to chocolate than others. He was fine. We weren't concerned about his health, but he did drag a brownie into like four different locations.
Because he couldn't
locations.
Just gobble it down in one place.
Yeah. No, it's like they carry it and then they look at it for a while and kind of eat part of it and then carry it to another part. So I came home to like, it was a pretty dry, crummy brownie. So it wasn't like smeared chocolate. And I wrote down that I just kind of left it there. Do you ever do that with messes? I was like, I'm not going to deal with this right now.
So
the kids are like, Mom, we found another pile of brownie crumbs. I'm like, okay, great. I'll get to it eventually. And I'm thinking maybe the dog will just eat the brownie crumbs and then it'll be a quicker cleanup.
Some magical thinking around that, but it could have happened.
I literally just was stepping over piles of dog eaten brownie crumbs for several hours. And eventually I cleaned it up, of course. And I watered some plants.
Oh, well, so this was like his last week of school. So this was like because the Monday before had been weird for me because I was traveling, and then I ended up kind of pushing my usual domestic Monday to Wednesday. So everything was a little off that week. It was my kids' last week of school. And I think that was the day that I did the takeover on Instagram.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that was that day. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of an interesting day in that I was documenting everything I was doing, but I wasn't writing it down necessarily. So like then at the end of the day, I was like, oh no, I did these other things. That was the day I did the new area rug. Sorry. I guess that was on Monday.
I
thought that was on Friday. Well, I already talked about that.
Friday's just a mystery now.
Friday's a mystery. Who knows? Maybe I wasn't even around. Maybe I went someplace. I just said, of course, I had done my grocery shopping, fridge organization again. And I feel like I did it twice that week. Like I did it when a short one on Wednesday when I went grocery shopping, and then did like a more intense one. That Monday, laundry pile became huge again, interestingly enough. So like, I don't know how that keeps happening. It feels like there's a really disproportionate amount of clean laundry at any given time, and yet nobody can ever find anything to wear. Mm-hmm. So don't know what's happening there. But yeah, that would have been the day that I did the big, big laundry because I had to do that so that the couch wouldn't eat it. And then I wrote down, there's literally just always something to wipe or sweep up. And okay. I also wrote down opening boxes, LOL. And this was because I had ordered a bunch of vintage dishes on Etsy. I got like the same Corel pattern that I grew up with, which I'm super excited about. But I had to order from like several different vendors to get the whole set. And then one of them got lost by the post office, lost it for like 3 weeks. And we didn't think I was going to get it. So I got a refund, and then I ended up buying more from somebody else, and then the original showed up. Like I just was bombarded with boxes, and I was opening boxes thinking, this just feels like a job, like opening boxes, and it has now become opening boxes and unwrapping plates felt like it took up 45 minutes that day. And then I found the Easter baskets behind the sofa in the sunroom, and I had to kind of lean behind the sofa and then pull them out with force candy flew everywhere, which took quite some time to clean up. But then I was like, what kind of a world am I living in where none of my kids ate all their candy? Not one of them. Is it like a mark of, I don't know, like a rite of passage where now they can so easily access their own candy that they don't need to rely on like holiday candy? It was very strange. Or maybe I just didn't get good stuff. Or the Easter Bunny didn't get good stuff this year. I don't know. but I had a lot of candy to clean up. And I think that was the end. That was like a, it was a busy day with a lot going on, but in many ways, like a typical Monday.
Right. Well, both of us had, like unplanned explosion of sweets in
chocolates
in places that we didn't expect. Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for sticking with us, everybody, as we went through the week of May 31st. I'm very excited, Megan, for next week, because next Tuesday, I should say, because we're going to start to unpack how we feel about all this. What kind of like bigger picture realizations we had while keeping track of the housework we were doing. So looking forward to that.
Yep, I cannot wait for that episode. And we have a More Than Mom coming up on Sunday. So we will talk to you then.
Talk to you then.